Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
God loves you so much that he creates a winning pathway for you to live your life. And if that's true, then why have we gotten stuck so many times along the way? Because with the problems arise in our clarity to see the promises of God. God making a pathway by which we can get to that other side. First year of marriage, Vicki and I were moving from Texas to Louisville, Kentucky, where we would study at the seminary. We had just married, and I went to the Ryder station in Waco, Texas to get a rent truck, and paid all the money, made the deposits, saw this kind of 18-footer out there that I was supposed to drive across the Red River, the Mississippi River, the Tennessee River, to the Ohio River. And there was only one problem. I really didn't know how to drive a stick shift. So I was behind the wheel, and the owner of the dealership was kind of watching through his corporate window. And I was going chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, stop, chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. And he came out of his corporate office, looked at me and said, "Do you know how to drive this thing?" And I said, "Well, by the time I cross the Mississippi, I'll have it figured out, you know." We can get stuck in all kinds of ways, can't we? And whether it be in a gear shift, whether that be in traffic, whether that be in driving in mud, be in a conversation, be in a relationship, be in decision-making, be in project development, be in a season of our life, and the odds are that many of us in some way feel stuck in a part of our life this morning. And the Word of God has clarity for all of us. His winning path anticipates the sticky moments of life and sets us free through Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came on the Messiah mission in order for us to know that God knows what it's like to be us. And the Messiah mission of Christ is truly Savior, saving us from our sin and the sticky situations that sin gets us into. And Lord, that is, he doesn't abandon us, but he will guide us all the way through. And so Paul, working this out in his own life and writing to the Christians in Rome, the city of a million that ruled the Roman Empire. And he asked this question that we've asked ourselves in knowing that being a human is tough stuff. It's tough to be who we are. Created by God in God's image, just a little lower than angels, and yet we've got all these chemical reactions and the laboratory of the hormones of our body and the complexities of how we think in our life experience, and it just gets confusing at times. And so he said, why do I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do? In this moment of thinking through, who am I? They haunt me, these lonely questions of mine, but whoever I am, thou knowest, O Lord, I am thine, said Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and just before he'd be executed by Hitler in opposing the evil of the Third Reich. He knew that God knew who he was, filled with fear, stirred by courage. It's really in how we see and how clearly we see. We have the vision of coming to communion today, the vision of God winning through crucifixion and resurrection, the vision of Jesus saying that he is with us in the Holy Spirit, that yielding to the Holy Spirit allows the fullness of God to come into our life and unsticks us where we are stuck, particularly where we are stuck by sin and stuck by our own humanity. God wants us to win, but we've got to see the victory. On vacation, I was able to spend a few days in Colorado Springs, and I heard the story about two surveyors who called Beach and Cable, and in the 1850s, they had gone from Denver City to on the way to what would become Colorado City, and they came across this beautiful stretch of land, and they looked at it. Please show the slide right now. They looked at it, and in looking at it, one of them said, Beach said, "Cable, this is going to be one awesome beer garden one day." And Cable, who had a kind of bigger view, said, "No, this is more of a place where the gods would gather," and called it the Garden of the Gods. Well, we know there's only one Lord God, but Cable had it right. There is, it all depends on what you see with what you're looking at. Do you see a beer garden, or do you see God's larger creation and purpose? And in your life, it may feel like you're stuck in one image, but God says, I want you to see that I have overcome. I want you to see that it has, my overcoming has your name and your initials on that story. And so the promise of God comes into our life with a key. And this key enables us to shift. To shift from saying that more and more in me wants to control more and more of God. That may not be as honest as how we actually say it, but the truth is we spend a lot of our life wanting to control God and more of God's power for our own whims. But God says, wait, let's shift how we see this and allow more and more of me to control more and more of you. Now, I don't know if Paul knew the term, but the term that describes his dilemma and you're my dilemma, velleity, is the dilemma of that we have a wish or inclination to do something, but it's not so much to actually do it. We have an idea, we have an aspiration, but we don't really have a tap into resource and power in order to get that accomplished. I've got good news for all of you who are beginning school, kindergarten, first grade, senior in high school, a college career, master's degree, wherever your school year is, and particularly teachers, you need to know May's coming. There's a school year that's going to come to an end, okay? It's going to get here. And that there is a way to see the future by commitments that we make today in order for that to be accomplished. What were we inspired this past week by Simone Biel? Here she is, this American, doing what had never been done before, a double-double triple and a triple-double-double. She did it on the beam, and she did it in her floor performance. And in doing so, you can easily see that every muscle, every fiber of her being, every neuron in her brain had been focused to be able to accomplish the very best of her potential in order for her to do what she had never done before, but she did it in a way that no one had ever done it before. Now, it's not our goal to try to do that. Good news, emergency room doctors who are here, otherwise there are a lot of us who would be coming to see you. But there are power potential in your life, whether you are 5 or you're 95, that God is wanting to release in order for that very best self to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ working through you. And Jesus says that happens by my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the oneness of God, Creator, Son, Holy Spirit, Father, Redeemer, Empower. This oneness of God coming to you so that we may yield to the Spirit, more and more of God, becoming more and more of who we are, yielding to the Spirit, that then frees us. So Paul, in stating the symptom of the problem was the sin factor in our life. The problem is that we can't do this life on our own, and that in that problem, God has come with a relationship of the solution, and that's a loving relationship with Christ Jesus that brings us into the fullness of the Creator of the heaven and the universe, the Redeemer for our life, and the Holy Spirit comes to us. The symptom of the problem is when we get all this kind of confusion and complexity trying to figure this stuff out. And then, but God speaks to our problems always with a promise. And the promise becomes a pathway to take us through the pain of our situation, a breakthrough moment. He always, as a promise maker, is a promise keeper. And that God will humble us in the midst of our not knowing, but we trust and yield to the Spirit. And Paul says in Romans 8, it happens in three ways. Now, you notice that Paul stated the problem and the symptom of the problem, but then he gives the pathway of the solution. That's how the Holy Spirit comes into our life as we yield to the Lord. One, the Spirit comes to free us. It comes to free us as we are frees us from living under sin's control, turning our hearts into the right direction, turning us Godward. He frees us from the fear that we're going to be abandoned by God and makes us into the family of God. He frees us from our having to focus so much about, I don't want to sin this and I don't want to sin that, I don't want to mess it up here, to seeing the breakthrough of the yes, where we don't focus on the sin, but we focus on the promise of His presence. Friday night, we had a wonderful kind of marriage enrichment, marriage night out at Tri Point for a wide range of stages and marriages in our church. And one of the questions asked as Vicki and I had the privilege of leading was, one of the questions was, how do you know when God is the center of your relationship? Well, in the moment of spirit, kind of, I asked God, help give me a practical answer to the question. Well, the practical answer was, when you're able to say, I'm sorry, or you're able to say, let's pray through this, or you're able to say, help me understand, when you're able to say, Lord, we give ourselves to you, when you're able to say, I forgive you, when you're able to bring yourself into the centeredness of God, and then you know that you're bringing the loving resources of God into the middle of your relationship, and He will always provide that breakthrough. So in Romans 8:2, Paul put it this way, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives that He has set us free. Now, the law of sin is death, but the Spirit leads us into the pathway. Now, when He leads us, we've been freed into the pathway, then He will lead us into the direction that we're to go. And the power of what God leads us is through the promise of what He provides within our life. So He leads us from fear into this family of God. He leads us to knowing that we belong to Him. He gives us our true identity. I mean, one of the fears that we have coming in the life of the church is if they only knew what I've been thinking, they wouldn't let me in. And if that was the criteria, the only one that would be here is God. But it doesn't mean we take all of that stuff that we've been thinking and feeling and working through and yielding to the Spirit for Him to get it to its different place. We don't leave things the same when we come to God. We let Him change what needs to be changed in our life. And at times we need to ask for help, always of the Spirit, and we benefit with each other. When Stephen, our youngest, was going off to a year in college from our home here, four blocks away from the church campus and from San Antonio to Waco, and we'd gone down to the local U-Haul dealer. I got this thing about getting stuck with U-Haul and riders, and went to the U-Haul, and got a trailer, we got it hitched up to his car, we got all that in place, but he had pulled it down our long, narrow driveway of our home, in which there's a fence and there's a house and all kinds of stuff on this along the side of this long driveway. And when I got home, I immediately was worried because I said, Stephen, do you know how to back that out? And I immediately told him about the need to always know your exit strategy. So I tried for an hour and a half to back it out. He tried for an hour to back it out. And I went back to our U-Haul dealer, and this skillful, wonderful woman came to the house, got behind the wheel, and literally in 45 seconds, that sucker was out and on the road. I should have asked her from the very beginning. So there are people in our life that can immediately help us to see and have the breakthrough that's provided. Walking the ways of Christ Jesus gives us wisdom, and we can share that wisdom and help us with the wisdom for each and every person. So in Romans 8:14, Paul laid out the promise of the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That means we're in this together, this family of God experience of being together. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to experience communion as individuals. Sure, we're going to hold our own bread and our cup, but we're going to be experiencing as this community together, a Spirit-filled community, a yielding to the Spirit community as summer moves into fall. Thirdly, once we have been freed and we've been led by the Spirit, then God empowers us to to win, empowers us to the breakthrough in our life, empowers us to get to that next place, empowers us to know the will of God and to do God's will by building an absolute resolve inside of us to live in God's ways. That God, who is the resurrection story, who is the winner, God, who is the empowerment of the what no one else can do and only He can do, brings that fullness of the Holy Spirit's power to our life so that we can experience that resource in our life. Yesterday morning, I had the privilege of officiating a memorial service for a lady who was not formally a member of our church, but months before she would die, she was kind enough to want to ask, she asked me to walk alongside her, to walk alongside her as she was preparing for her death. And we did. We walked through it together. And so this time the cancer wasn't going to be whooped up on and defeated. This time her body really was going to end on earth. But she wasn't stuck. She was freed. She was freed by God having dealt that bully death, that death blow, in the resurrection of Christ that followed Calvary, and God has overcome. And so once being able to see this larger picture of what God makes possible on the other side of death that is more real than life on earth, then the passage from here to there was filled with victory, filled with the feel good in the midst of the pain of knowing that the presence of Christ through the Spirit, was with her every step along the way. God does not leave us defeated. He turns our defeats into victories. So Paul would write in Romans 8, 26 through 27, this pathway that comes saying that the Spirit of God then helps us in our weakness. And we get into trouble when we don't admit that we need the Spirit's help. We don't even know how to pray. We can just groan. You've prayed that way, haven't you, at 3 a.m, just kind of groaning? And the Lord knows the tears, and the Spirit is there with you. And then the Spirit comes and intercedes for us and then searches out then our hearts so that we can know what we're feeling before we know what we're feeling. And that in the breakthrough of our knowing, then we know the Spirit is leading us and empowering us into this will of God of service. And that Jesus led the disciples into the upper room because that will of God of His Messiah mission, that His life and death and resurrection would be the means of salvation for our world, it caused Him to pray with drops of blood. And when He called the apostles to the upper room for the Last Supper, He's saying, this is how I want you to pray. This is how I want you to know that My Spirit of victory is with you. They didn't know how to pray. But He gave them the model, and we in our world, in this life and time of the history of our world condition, and your individual life, and the life of Trinity about to begin a new church year, the sense of this new experience of the future coming to calm our fears in the present, that we may enact the will of God by the service of our life. Unto you, Lord, we give ourselves. As our deacons come forward and we prepare to take of the signs and the symbols of the body of Christ, where the lids are lifted as a sign of the resurrection, and the sign of what is revealed is a sign of what we behold in our hand to know that we are held in God's hand and the power of the Holy Spirit. That the experience will share its power and message for us. Let us pray. Living Lord God, we love you, and we give ourselves freshly for your Spirit to speak that victory into our life. As you speak that victory, we open ourselves to receive the bread and the cup as a sign of your setting us free, your leading us, and your empowering us. Through your Spirit, O Lord, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.